Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. And your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and greetings to all the people in the radio land.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. We can't thank you enough. And we'll talk a little bit about how you can help us just a little bit more in the next couple of weeks. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father is also the rector at St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House, better known as Malvern Retreat House. So he basically splits his time 50-50 between the ministry and Malvern. Father and I are available, though I more than he these days, to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. A reminder that our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays at St. Gabriel's Church, 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. This past Tuesday, yesterday, Father Foley, the pastor of St. Gabriel's, has started Talbot Tuesdays. And we have, in addition to having the shrine open, he'll be having adoration from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, followed by Matt Talbot Novena and benediction. So if you're going to come down Tuesday around 3, be a great time to pay us a visit. Also coming up on Tuesday, October the 17th, that's 2 weeks from, 2 weeks from yesterday. We'll be out at Talamore Country Club and playing golf, whacking that little white ball around. All the information can be found on our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you can download the flyer. I was talking to Maureen a little bit before we went live. And somewhere around 60 golfers, so we got plenty of room for a couple more foursomes. Lots of great gifts to be had, hole-in-one contest, putting contest. We'll have lunch and before we play golf, dinner after we play golf, and it's always a great day somehow or other. Kathleen always manages to get great weather for the event. Just note that this year it is on a Tuesday, not a Monday, and we are at Talamore Country Club, which will be our first time at that venue. If you have any questions, you can give Maureen a call here at 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Also, if there's any men that are in recovery out there and interested in a Matt Talbot retreat, there's one at the end of the month at Camp Arrowhead in Delaware, Lewis, Delaware. It'll be the last weekend, Friday to Sunday, and yours truly has been asked to direct the retreat. So if you want to get down there, let me know. You can call and leave Maureen your phone number or, better yet, an email address, and I can send you the relevant information to register. Again, that's the last weekend in October, Friday to Sunday in Lewis, Delaware. All right, shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And the following is the prayer for the canonization of Matt Talbot. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will, that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximine Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Francis.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. We are in the 26th week of Ordinary Time, and the saints in the calendar this week included Thérèse de Lisieux on Sunday the 1st. On Monday, we celebrated the Guardian Angels. Today, Wednesday the 4th, St. Francis of Assisi. Tomorrow the 5th will be St. Faustina Kowalska, as well as Blessed Francis Xavier Silos. On Friday the 6th, St. Bruno and Blessed Marie Rose de Rocher. And on the 7th, Our Lady of the Rosary, formerly known called the Our Lady of Victory. So plenty of things to talk about this week. And just before Father and I get going here, it is a one-hour call-in show. You can call in and join in the conversations. The number 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484, especially when your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, and we need your phone calls to make it worthwhile. So today we celebrate the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi. And to all my Franciscan, Third Order Franciscan friends, happy feast day. A big day for them. St. Francis of Assisi was born either in 1181 or 82. And he would die on October the 3rd in the year 1226. He's the patron saint of Italy and was a poor little man, but didn't start out that way. His father was well-to-do, had his own business, traveled a bit, sold material in Assisi there. And eventually he and his father would have a falling out. Francis, like a lot of young men in those times, had aspired to be a knight and everything that went along with that, you know, recognition and fame and gallivanting and singing and all those things that, you know, we come to know about knights, especially, I guess, if you watched Robin Hood. Anyway, Francis would be locked up at one time and then released, and one of his biggest fears was to run into somebody with leprosy. And a number of events or a sequence of events occurred where eventually he would actually embrace somebody that had leprosy. And it was a life-changing event for him. He would go back to the chapel of San Damiano, and he would hear Christ from the cross tell him, Francis, go and build my church, or go and rebuild my church. And Francis took it literally and went out and started collecting stones and blocks and what have you to rebuild the physical church, realizing later that he was actually being called to rebuild the human church, the spiritual church, if you will, by bringing people back to the faith. It led a relatively short life, maybe stunted because of his extreme fasts and those types of things. Would end up being blind, experienced the stigmata, but basically gave up everything he had, the fame and fortune that he might have had if he was the good boy and worked for his dad and did what he was supposed to do. But he didn't. He turned around and lived the gospel and gave up everything for Christ. And so a great feast day today celebrated by our friends that are Third Order Franciscans, in addition to the various priestly and sisters that have taken up the vows of Franciscan priests and sisters, St. Francis of Assisi.
I remember St. Francis as a little boy, Ken, you know, that movie that came out, watched it with my father. It's probably one of the first saints I really felt attracted to, you know, and his whole life was on the Gospels. He said, as with all the saints, Francis said, his only goal was to live according to the Scriptures. And we celebrated St. Jerome last week, and St. Jerome said, ignorance of Scriptures, of Scripture, is ignorance of Christ. And how true that is. If we really want to get to know, you know, Jesus, we got to know his word. That the word is dynamic. He reveals himself to us in that word. So Francis, he was kind of like, he married the word. And he would live the word, obedient to the word. He was humble and meek. And just like that promise in John 14, where whoever holds to my word, the Father and I will come to, and I will reveal myself. And boy, did he reveal himself to Francis. So deeply that Jesus was shining through him, especially in those wounds. But yes, he had the two regrets that he had in lifetime was the how he treated his body, because, like you said, Ken, he went blind, and we could never question the love that the saints had back then. We can question how they did it because they didn't have the understanding and the knowledge that we do about nourishment and food and drink and whatnot. But you can never question their love. The other regret was the way he treated his father. But I was saying last night about how Francis, he got together, and he was one that would open the Bible at random, and then he would he would listen to the Word of God and just kind of put his finger out on the book and just open it up and see what God was telling him. Now, that worked for Francis, and sometimes it doesn't always work. I remember someone opened up the book, and the finger fell on, and Judas went out and hung himself. So he shut the book and opened it again, and then when he opened it again, his finger fell on, go and do the same. So that didn't work for that man. But for Francis, it did. And I'm trying to remember those three scripture verses that he did. And that was the gospel. That was the whole rule of the Franciscans. It was Mark 10, chapter 17. It was the rich young man. But just to put it in a little summary, Jesus, looking at the rich young man, loved him and said, you are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. So he took that literally. And then there was another one. I'm hoping I'm getting this right. It was Matthew chapter 16. And it was the conditions of discipleship. He would open up the Bible again, and he would read, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And he shut the book. He opened it up again, and it went to, Luke 9. And that was the one where, I believe it was this one, take nothing for the journey, neither walking stick, no sack, nor food, nor money. So there was all that poverty. You know, he took all those words to heart and lived the word of God. And the Lord shone through him. And it was at the end of his life, like 2 years before, when he had that stigmata. And I often think of that stigmata, Ken, even from the first grade with Sister Patrick Maureen, when she talked about baptism and talked about that indelible mark. Later in life, I realized that indelible mark is that we're marked with the stigmata. When the Father sees us, he sees his Son. In baptism, we're rooted in Jesus. We're grafted to him. We're grafted to his life, his death, his resurrection, that Paschal mystery. So we have those wounds of Jesus. Even the reading today when Paul talks about that he bears the wounds of Christ, he was talking about the stigmata, but that I'm sure it wasn't being shown for Paul, but Paul believed that he had it, that we all have that stigmata. And how beautiful just to think of that, you know. And maybe the saints would show the wounds of Jesus, like Catherine Siena, Padre Pio, you know. But other saints would just show the light of Jesus. You know, the light would just shine through them, the radiance. And we follow. But I know I probably told this story not too long ago, but we're all called to be his witnesses, to be gospel witnesses. Francis said that you may be the only gospel your neighbor reads. We may be the only gospel your neighbor reads. And so it's through that good example, as we remember that famous quote of Francis, that at all times preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. So they may be the only gospel that they ever read. But I always remember that beautiful story, probably my most favorite story of his, when he was with Brother Leo, and he said to Brother Leo, "We're going to the marketplace and we're going to preach." And they put on their habits and they went from one end of the marketplace to the other and back again and never said a word. And Leo said, "When are we going to preach?" And Francis said, "We just did. We just did." You know, there's the preaching beyond our words. It's our attitude. It's even a smile. It's really proclaiming the presence of God in us. He's the tip. I mean, the smile is the tip of his presence within us. Kind words, helping hands, gentle touch. This is all proclaiming the gospel of Jesus, because it's all goodness, and nothing good comes from us, but it comes through us, right from God himself. But Francis, one other story that I couldn't resist to tell, the one about at the end. We had a prayer meeting today, and of course, I didn't give a gospel, but I couldn't resist, because we were in the Lectio Divina, and we were in the Contemplatio after getting ready to receive communion and be quiet. But I couldn't resist one thing about this, and it was on God's created beauty, where Francis and Leo, or Brother Leo, are looking at it, all the beauty. And Francis is calling to Leo, "Look at all this beauty." He said, "What must he be? What must the Creator be? What can we call the Creator?" And Leo said, "God." And Francis says, "No, not God, not God," he cried. "The name is too heavy. It crushes bones. Not God, but Father, Father, Father. Everything I have given to you. Everything we see, smell, taste, touch, hear." And you know, the beauty of creation is a gift from the Father, Ken.
Amen. And we talk about that quite a bit when we talk about the gift of the divine will. And one of the prayers is the rounds of creation. And, you know, when you think about everything that God has created, and he created all of it for us. When he created Adam, you know, gave him dominion over all of it. You know, not a little bit, not his piece of property, but dominion over all of it. And to look around and see all that God has created, you know, take time to smell the coffee or smell the roses is, a great way to look at it. You know, we're all so busy running around. You know, when you're driving down the highway or driving out in the country or whatever, you know, take a minute and look around and see what God has created, and take a minute to appreciate it, to thank God for it, to praise and bless God for it. And, some folks know I have a place up in the Poconos, and sometimes I feel like Francis of Assisi up there. I actually, the season's coming with the, up there we have a lot of black-capped chickadees. For those that are bird watchers, you know what I'm talking about. Up north here in Pennsylvania, we have the black-capped chickadees. Down around here, they're Carolinas. And the Carolinas aren't nearly as friendly as the black-capped. And I can have them come and eat right out of my hand. And it's pretty interesting to watch. And sometimes I feel like Francis of Assisi when I do it, because you always see him portrayed with the, you know, the birds and the deer and what have you, and, you know, his gentleness of heart. And so, we really need to take the time to look around and see what all God has done for us, and to thank him for it, to show that gratitude. Because, you know, we say it all the time, left to our own devices, we'd have nothing. And, you know, God provides everything. Not some things, not just the necessities. He provides everything, and we need to acknowledge that. And when we do, when we're grateful for it, and actually admit that it comes from him, It makes all the difference in the world. I think it slows us down. It keeps us from running around and chasing. It's going to be interesting. In the 5 o'clock hour, I got a guest on and reading his bio, and we're almost identical in terms of things that are happening in our lives. Our wives actually have the same name, the whole bit. And but God slowed me down, and not worry or get anxious, but are you doing the right thing? And doing right by your for yourself, for your family, for those that are around you. And Francis really went out on a limb, and as a result, here we are 1,000 years later, almost 1,000 years later. And how many people have taken Franciscan vows? How many people are profess third order Franciscans and try to emulate Francis in this crazy world of ours, to try to live that life of poverty and total dependence on God. So there must be something to it, Father, because there's an awful lot of people doing it, a lot of happy people doing it,
Yeah. That's so true, Ken. You look at the saints, they were the happiest people on the planet, and they really didn't have much, but boy, were they happy, because happiness is really an inside job. And I think about people with so much, like people in Hollywood, these famous movie stars, they have millions, and they're committing suicide. Pleasures don't make us happy, Joy, God makes us happy. Our hearts are restless, joyless, till they rest in the Lord. And how true that is. When you're talking about creation, it made me think about Francis when he woke everybody up like at midnight, because it was a full moon. He wanted everybody to see that full moon. And I remember a story say somebody can point at the full moon, the beauty of it. Well, the fool looks at the finger, but the wise man looks at the moon. That we can look at the creation and miss the Creator. So everything is pointing to the Creator. But again, it's just the gospel. How well he lived the gospel. He married the Word of God. So obedient. Burning in love with Jesus. And that was the way he would show his love. Brother Leo said to him, you're going to burn up the world, Francis, Put the fire out. You're burning up the world. And he was. He was so burning in love. He had the Holy Spirit, the zeal, the enthusiasm. He said, there's only one time he got angry, one time. And that's when they changed the rule on him. And he went up into the cave. But marrying the Word. I was thinking, I used this on my retreat, this little poem, when it was the feast of St. Jerome. He said, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. But we know about the cell phones today. Well, there's a little thing about the Bibles and the cell phones. Of course, the acronym for Bible. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. But this is just the poem that I read. I thought it was pretty good about the cell phones and how attached we are to worldliness and to our cell phones. Not attached. I would even go as far as say we're addicted. So here's food for thought. Wonder what would happen if we treated our Bible like we treat our cell phones. What if we carried it around in our purses or pockets? What if we turned back to go and get it if we forgot it? What if we flipped through it several times a day? What if we spent an hour or more using it every day? What if we used it to receive messages from the text? What if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? What if we gave it to our kids as gifts? What if we used it as we traveled? What if we used it in case of an emergency? This is something to make you say, where's my Bible? Oh, a few more things. Unlike our cell phones, one plan fits all, unlimited usage, no roaming charges, no weak signals. And we don't ever have to worry about our Bible being disconnected, because Jesus already paid the bill. Bible, the Word of God. We can read the newspaper, and that's so static. Something that happened last week, yesterday, it's bad news that informs you. But when we read the Bible, it's dynamic. It's God speaking to us directly. It's a love letter from the Father. and the spirit. And yet when we go off track, it's like a hammer. We're filled with guilt and shame. And then we're consoled with the Word of God. We're instructed with the Word of God. We're guided by the Word of God. It's dynamic. So I always like to put my name, you know, when I hear something, come to me. And then I put my name, come to me, Douglas. Well, you know, when you're wearied and tired and tempted, come to me, Douglas. I'll refresh you. And take him at that word that he's speaking to each and every one of us in his word, because the word is alive, Ken. It's alive. And that's how Francis saw the gospel. It was alive. And that's all he wanted as his rule. That was his whole spirituality. And that was his whole goal, to really just to live according to the scriptures.
Amen. And I don't think you threw in there, to, you know, the Bible basic instructions before leaving Earth, right? And, you know, it's interesting. I probably don't spend, and sometimes Catholics say, oh, we don't do the Bible, right? And our Protestant brothers and sisters accuse us of not spending enough time in Scripture yet. You know, if you go to daily Mass, you get at least two Scripture readings plus a psalm. On Sunday, you get three scripture readings, right? Two readings and the gospel, and so we are a gospel people. We are a Bible people, and so when people make the accusation that we're not, we need to be sure to let them know. Especially if you go to Mass on a regular basis, you probably spend more time with the Bible than you think you do, and. You know, what's in there, and I talked a little bit about this on Saturday. Everybody loves a good story. One of the reasons I think you have some of the popularity that you have is your ability to tell a story. And I think that's why 12-step programs work, because a lot of the meetings, people will give what they call a lead or tell their story. And it gives people an opportunity to not just hear the story, but then relate to it. And I think we can do the same thing with Scripture. We can relate to some of the characters that are in there, and the lives that they lived, and the problems and the suffering that they had. And it should come alive for us, and we should be able to put ourselves in those scenes like we do on Wednesdays with our contemplative prayer group, and get a sense of, you know, what was really going on without having to physically be there. So, you know, take the Bible off the shelf, blow off the dust, randomly open it up like Francis did, and see what the Lord has to say to you. We got just about a minute, Father, before we go to the break.
Yeah, just what you were saying about stories. I always say the most important step is the doorstep. You go in, you listen to the stories, and you tell your story, because powerful stories are God's stories. And I think about our Lord, you know, telling stories all the time, parables. You know, preachers can use so many abstractions. You know, you can talk about truth and love and peace and joy, but to show it. Like sometimes I read papal documents and all, they go over my head. But when I read the Gospels and the parables, you know, Jesus engages the senses. I can smell it. I can taste it. I can hear it. I can touch it. I can see it. You know, just take a parable like the wedding feast of Cana. You know, you're smelling the flowers, you're seeing the beauty on the bride and groom, you're hearing the music, you're tasting the fine wine and drink. You know, it's just all the senses are engaged, and then everybody's at a different level. So in a story, people are going to take what God wants to touch them with. Other people may take something different. And but everybody's different, but everybody's going to get something out of a story. And Jesus knew that, and he was the greatest storyteller ever. You know, he loved telling his parables. And, you know, you think of those stories like, gosh, the prodigal son, you know, the lost sheep, the lost coin, these beautiful, remarkable stories. These stories, you know, just, you know, on and on and on. The buried treasure, the pearl of great price. Sell all you have and go get that pearl. You know, you see the pearl. You want the pearl. And the pearl represents the kingdom of God. Give it all, like Francis. Take the kingdom of God in heart. The kingdom will shine through. The saints, beautiful saints, where Christ lives again. And Francis shows us that. And sure, at the end, I know we're at the end here, Ken, but I had a lot of quotes for Francis. But when he was dying, he was just like Jesus. He would break the bread and give each piece, morsel of the bread to the friars and say, love one another, love one another, love one another. And as he's dying, he says, I have done what was mine to do. May Christ teach you what you are to do. So that's a beautiful line, you know. I want to do what I must do, and may Christ teach me what that is, Ken.
Amen. All right, we have reached the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need your phone calls. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you need to call us toll-free, you can call us at 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
My name is Mario D'Adamo, and I have been a faithful listener to InnerSign Radio Ministry since 1990 and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906. Or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Forgot to mention when we got started here that on Monday night, October the 30th, Kathleen McCarthy will be out at the Malvern Retreat House for an evening entitled Spiritual Warfare 2023, How the Enemy Targets Our Families and How to Stop It. They'll have Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 o'clock, Rosary and live worship music at 6:30, presentation by Kathleen at 7:30, and then fellowship after her talk. And her family went through the ringer, as I'm sure you're aware if you're a regular listener, last year and into the beginning of this year. And so she knows all about spiritual warfare. So if you can make it, that'd be great. They ask you to register. It is free, but they want you to register so they know how many people are coming. You do so at the salvationofsouls.net website. It's all spelled out, salvationofsouls.net. Monday, October 30th.net. Again, that's Monday, October the 30th. Gets underway at 6 o'clock at the Malvern Retreat House in the Family Life Center. Quick rundown of the Calix units here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and nearby Wilmington. Calix is a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father and I and a whole gang of people get together every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. All but the third Tuesday, we gather in the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street at 6 o'clock, where we have adoration, then Mass, and our Calix meeting. On the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, where we have a holy hour from 6 to 7, followed by Mass at 7 o'clock. This month, that'll be on October the 17th. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, October the 5th. The unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month, where they attend the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass and then the Calix meeting. They'll be gathering on Saturday, October the 14th. The unit at my home parish of St. Luke's in Glenside meets on the third Saturday of the month. We go to the 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by our Calix meeting, and that this month will be on Saturday, October the 21st. And the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by their Calix meeting, and this month that meeting will be on Saturday, October the 28th. In the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by Dr. Paul Chaillot, and we'll be talking about his book, Dying Without Fear. And the book is looks pretty good and deals with not just dying, but also suffering. And I think it's going to be a great show today, so stick around in the 5 o'clock hour. So without any further ado, we're going to go to the phones. We've got two folks on the line, and we will first go to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
All right, pal. How are you?
Hey, Frank.
Last week when I was talking to you, I made a boo-boo, a big mistake. I gave people listening the recipe for getting sober from Captain Lou. Captain Lou says disease in the mind, body, and soul, so you go to meetings every day, go to church every day, exercise every day. But I forgot to mention, you also listen to Father Doug and Ken every Wednesday. So, you do the important things, you got 100% chance of getting sober.
I think we got this on recording, and we may use that for a promo for the show. Thanks, Frank.
Seriously. Well, yeah. I'm sure I'm like most alcoholics. It's hard getting sober. It's hard staying sober. Whatever. Some are lucky right away. We all tried different things. We did exactly what they said, and we still failed. It wasn't until I followed Lou's instructions to the T and got used every Wednesday. Most times, sometimes I forgot. It kicked in. But Father Doug, when you were talking about different things that makes you happy, even though like saints don't have money, that kind of reminded me, this Monday, I was at the chiropractor. He was talking to a patient before me. He was saying, only if people took care of their bodies like they take care of their cars. But people, if they like their car, of course, they put the best fuel in it. They maintain it constantly. They're always washing it and waxing it. But yet people eat crappy, drink crappy. They don't go to church. They don't do nothing except booze, you know, eat munchy food and wonder why they got health problems. But I wanted to add, I forgot to mention, the Fire Doug and Ken hour every Wednesday. So I wanted to add that, and thanks a lot, guys. And that's it, Ken. And Father,
all right.
Thank you very much.
Great to hear from you, Frank. Thanks again, pal.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Frank. God bless you real good. You're the best.
All right.
You got a good radio voice.
Yeah. And we're going to go over to the other line, and I think we got Fruitland Park Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello. How are you today?
All right. How are you?
Good, good.
Better yet, where are you?
Well, I'm back in New Jersey. I tried to make it to Calix last night. I left Falmouth at noontime. It said I'd be in Philadelphia at 5:30. And people just kept getting in accidents and causing traffic jams. So I didn't make it.
So how long are you in Jersey for?
For a while. I actually received my first locution today, but it wasn't from God. It was St. Francis. He asked me to talk to Ken Johnson, and please tell him, as a man who's been to Italy, to properly pronounce Assisi, because he is not a sissy. Because anybody who went through what he went through is not a sissy. So, with that said, I love Father Doug's comparison with the Bible and the cell phone. My daughter told me to always trust the GPS. You know when the GPS seems to be sending you the wrong way? You know how to go, and it's sending you... No, that's the wrong way. I know how to go. That's the wrong way. And in Boston, I was trying to go through the Sumner Tunnel, and the GPS kept trying to send me over the bridge. I said, no, I'm going through the tunnel. When I got to the tunnel was closed for repairs. The GPS knew something that I didn't know.
Amen.
So that's it. God knows what we don't know. And when he seems to be sending us the wrong way, just trust him. If you're going to trust a stupid GPS, trust God. So I learned my lesson.
Very good. Lesson learned.
And, when you talk about, people criticize Catholics for not knowing the Bible, well, imagine somebody trying to explain the theory of relativity to Albert Einstein. He wrote the book. The Bible is a Catholic book. Please stop trying to explain our book to us. It's good to be back in town.
All right, pal.
It's good to hear you guys. I tried to beat Frank. You can't beat Frank. I can't get on ahead of Frank. he's number one. You just can't beat him. So I'll try again next week.
All right, pal. Good to hear from you.
Bob,
look forward to seeing you next week.
Yep. Very good.
Hey, Bob, you like the Bible? Care. You like the Bible and the cell phones?
I like that.
A lot the young people wouldn't know this one, but we would. I think the TV guy. That's kind of like they don't sell that anymore in stores, do they? The TV guy.
Right.
You get it all on your internet or your smartphone, whatever.
Yes.
You remember the TV guy? So they had something with the Bible and the TV guide on the table side by side. The Holy Bible and the TV guide. One is well worn, but cherished with pride. Not the Bible, but the TV guide. One is used daily to help folks decide. No, it isn't the Bible. It's the TV guide. As pages are turned, what shall they see? Oh, what does it matter? Turn on the TV. So they open the book in which they confide. No, not the Bible. It's the TV guide. The Word of God is seldom read. Maybe a verse, and they fall into bed. Exhausted and sleepy and tired as can be. Not from reading the Bible, from watching TV. So then, back to the table, side by side, is the Holy Bible and the TV guide. No time for prayer, no time for the Word. The plan of salvation is seldom heard. Forgiveness of sins, so full and free, is found in the Bible, not on the TV.
Amen.
The Bible and the TV, and the Bible and the cell phones. Imagine if we gave that much time to our Bibles as we do to our TVs and our cell phones.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you. And put those words into practice, we'd be like St. Francis. Each of us are called to be saints. We'd be in our own uniqueness. We just had a wonderful day at Malvern. A blessed Carlo Acutis. Over 1,000 people came. Young people came. The mother was there. And they were talking about, we're called to be saints, like this young boy. And the only tragedy in life is not to be a saint. We got all the means that these saints had. We got the same Bible, the same Eucharist, same Blessed Mother, Saint Joseph, same Saint Francis of Assisi, same all the saints, same angels, same guardian angels. Yep. If we miss it, don't blame anyone, but blame ourselves, because it's what Christ died for, that we all will become saints, happy, peaceful, joyful. But what Carlo Acutis had a wonderful line. He said, we're all born original, unique, but most of us die as photocopies. Wow. Be who you are. That's all you got to be. You are you, and that's all you got to be. And if we are our true selves, we become saints in the image and likeness of our Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
and never challenged Father Doug to Bible jeopardy. I went to a noon mass at a Franciscan chapel today, and the three verses that he quoted, that St. Francis, that's exactly correct.
Ah, there you go. Right.
I was trying to remember them, so I got it right.
Oh, you did it. You did. I was at the noon mass at the Franciscan chapel, and those were the three passages. You got it.
Awesome. Yeah,
trust GPS, trust Father Doug.
All right, pal. Very All good.
Right, thanks, care. Bob. Yep.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right.
I was thinking about the outer God, Ken. You want to give you yours?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was interesting. Not sure if anybody's listening. It was there on Sunday morning over at the Catholic Community of the Holy Spirit in Woodstown, New Jersey. But I was invited to speak over there for their communion breakfast. And Father and I had talked ahead of time. I had given him a copy of the plan talk. And as you know, as always, you always allow room for the Holy Spirit and things to be changed and what have you. So during the Mass, a great priest that was there, Father Michael Brand, and he gets up and opens up his homily by saying that, last Friday I had breakfast at the Oregon Diner in Philadelphia. And right away my ears perk up because we visit the Oregon Diner usually on Thursday mornings after Mass over at the Matt Talbot Chapel. And he said he had a large breakfast, so much that he thought he had enough food for the next 4 days. But when he walked outside with the box, he ran across a gray, wavy, gray-haired guy with a beard and asked him if he was hungry. And when he said yes, he gave him his leftovers. And I'm sitting there thinking that it's got to be our friend King David. And and so it kind of shifted the talk a bit and talked a little bit more about, those people that we see on the street and, those that we've gotten to know because we see them and take the time to ask them what their name is and offer a pleasant word in addition to the food and a couple of bucks or whatever we do for them. And so, they talked about King David and Anthony and Kelly and Mike and, some of the people I run into on the 34th Street exit of the Schuylkill Expressway. And speaking of which, I just want to add this real quick. Bob mentioned my trip to Italy. And I want to offer prayers for a busload of people. Apparently, it was in Mestre, which is the town next to Venice, and we actually stayed there. And we would take public transportation. We rode the buses back and forth to Venice. And one of those buses drove off a bridge yesterday, and at least 21 people were killed. And then this morning when I got on the Schuylkill Expressway, and I ended up, the on-ramp coming off of Lincoln Drive was all backed up. So I went straight up City Line Avenue and made a U-turn at Presidential Boulevard or whatever it is and came back. And as soon as I got on the Schuylkill, right at the entrance, there was a motorcycle and then what looked to be somebody's body draped in a yellow tarp with a Good Samaritan actually kneeling on the ground next to it. And I drove about another half mile and the ambulance was coming up the other side. So I suspect that the person that was on that motorcycle passed away this morning. So please keep them in prayer. Have no names, just 20 people in Mestre, Italy, and the person this morning. But Saturday, it was all full of otter gods. And then last night when we went over to church, we had Father Lane for Mass, and he spent the whole homily talking about Holy Communion, and that was the main topic of my talk on Sunday. Holy Communions versus Unholy Communions. So, anyway, Otter God.
Otter God, always God.
Amen.
Yeah, mine was, I was sharing this last night. First of all, when I had the Matt Talbot 34 retreat over the weekend, we had the penance service, and I give my little homily on coming to confession. And then they start asking questions, out of the blue. And they were talking about locutions. Father, do you really hear Jesus speak to you? Like in the English language. And I said, yeah, sometimes, but mostly he speaks in the silence of our hearts. And, as you go into Malvern, Peter put up a sign that said, be still and know that I'm God. And so we want that stillness where we reach that center point in our hearts where God dwells, where our lives are flowing from. And we just sit and be still in that silence and listen with the ear of the heart, because the middle letters of the word heart is E-A-R, that the heart has an ear, and you listen. And you might not hear too much, but there's a peace that comes over you or a joy. And then later on, it surfaces pious thoughts, inspirations, encouragement. But very often you'll hear a word in the English language. And, you know, I humbly say I get a lot of locutions, but it was Friday night. In the middle of the night, I heard God the Father woke me up. I am with you. And I woke up. It was so indelible. So that's how you know. They're always short, and they're deep, and they're indelible. And, you know, I'm with you always. So, you know, in the morning I woke up, I say my, you know, my regular prayers before I get to the office of readings. But then I went out to Wawa, got my coffee and croissant, and I came back, and I opened up the Jesus Calling book. And the first words I read was, I am with you. I am with you. And that was so powerful. It was like, honor God. That was such a confirmation for me, you know, that he's with me. So anyway, I think of the words of Matthew at the end, I am with you always until the end of the world. He wants us to know that he's with us. Well, the next morning I wake up, and I'm thinking the same thing. I'm saying, Lord, are you really with me? And I open up the Jesus Calling and I read, I am perpetually with you. So I don't know how much he can say, you know, to convince us that he's with us always. If he wasn't with us, we'd be annihilated. I wouldn't be able to do anything. I wouldn't be able to move a little finger. It's him that we live and move and have our being. It's the divine presence within us. Our souls animate our bodies. I was saying that this morning, Ken, where when I see a dead body, it's a corpse because the soul is separated. The soul's not there. So I say to my hand, my will, in the soul you have memory, intellect, and will. I say to my hand, raise up. I say to my feet, walk over there. And it does it because that's my will. You know, it's my soul that animates my body. So at death, there's a separation. The soul's not there. So the body's dead. It's a corpse. But here's the point. What animates my soul? That's the indwelling presence. And we have to make that God connection, because we can't do anything without him. I'm the vine, you're the branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing, absolutely nothing. I say that over and over again until it sinks into our minds. Absolutely nothing. Zilch, zero, nada. In him, we live and move and have our being. When I'm weak, his power shines forth. It's his power. And I can conquer all things in him who strengthens me. So that was my outer God. You know, it's like three times he hit me over the head. Are you really... I woke up, I am with you. And then I hear, I am with you. I am perpetually with you, all the time. He's with us all the time, Ken.
Amen. Thank God for God. Thank God he is with us, right?
We're with him.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the ways that he lets us know that he's with us is through his holy angels. On Friday, we celebrated the Feast of the Archangels, and Father McKay, having grown up in St. Gabriel's Church, has had a fondness for the archangels, I'm sure, since he was a young boy. And I'll be honest, didn't know a whole lot about them until I started coming down there and hearing regularly about Michael and Gabriel, and especially Raphael and the Book of Tobit. And then, the other four archangels that we never hear about, except if you hang around with Father McKay on the Feast of Archangels, he might fill you in on the names of the other four. So we've only got about 4 minutes left, Father, so I'll let you run with it.
Okay, well, the seven archangels. And, you know, it's amazing because each archangel has a sacrament. But when you see the word El, it means God. So St. Michael, one who's like God, and he's in charge of the Holy Eucharist. St. Gabriel, strength of God, has baptism. St. Raphael, medicine or healing of God. He has the sacrament of penance, reconciliation. Uriel means light of God, and he has confirmation. Jehudiel is the praise of God, and he has the sacrament of the sick. Salatiel is the prayer of God, and that's holy orders that he has. And St. Barachiel
It's the blessing of God, and that's the matrimony. But yeah, the archangel. We know that there's seven archangels because we get that from the book of Tobit, you know, where Raphael says, I am one of the seven that stand before the throne of God. You read that book of Tobit, Ken, it's really, it's gospel. You know, you're hearing prayer, fasting, and penance, burying the dead, the corporal works of mercy, the spiritual works of mercy. It's about the marriage with Tobiah. He's going to be married to Sarah, and Sarah was married seven times, and, you know, the devil, he killed the husbands, and Raphael, that's, this is why Raphael is a symbol, his symbol is the fish. That he says to Tobiah, get that fish, cut it open, take the heart and the bladder, and take the liver and make medicine out of it. And he does. And that heart he puts on coals. He marries Sarah. And they even had his grave dug, thinking that he's going to die. But he didn't. And Raphael chases Asmodeus, the devil, to Egypt, and he binds him there. But this journey in the book of Tobit is our journey. It's our journey. And that heart is the heart of Jesus. I always saw that as the heart of Jesus, the pierced heart of Jesus, the medicine, the Eucharist. The remedy for all of us is right there in his most sacred heart that pulsates in his most blessed sacrament. But even at the end of the book of Tobit, we hear this, you know, a bright light will shine to all parts of the earth. Many nations shall come to you from afar, and the inhabitants of all the limits of the earth, drawn to you by the name of the Lord God, bearing in their hands their gifts for the King of Heaven. Every generation shall give joyful praise. There's the birth of Jesus, the star in the sky, the wise men coming with the gifts. It's all revealed there, you know. It's just remarkable. But yeah, I would love to get somebody who made movies just to make a movie about Tobit. I don't know if there's a movie on Tobit, but 14 chapters. It reads like a book. It'd be a wonderful movie. If I was a movie maker, I would make a movie just on the book of Tobit, because it's so much gospel, Ken, so much gospel. How much time do we have?
I only got about a minute and a half, and I do have Susie on the line if we want to take the call.
Oh, go ahead, yeah.
All right. Hello, Susie. Susie, are you there? Hey, Suze. I may have dropped off, Father.
Anyway, but my relation with the angels can go back to the first grade with Sister Patrick Maureen. She had that rubber stamp, you know, and she came to me one time with our seat work, and she says, Douglas, do you have a chicken under your desk? I said, no, sir. She said, well, chicken scratch. And she would stamp that rubber stamp with a crying angel. And I would work so hard, and one day I did. I got that with a happy smile and angel, and I felt so good. But it was make room for your angel. Make room for your angel. And they had that picture, Ken, that famous picture, you know, crossing over the bridge with troubled waters with the guardian angel crossing the little child, yep. You know. But it goes right back there.
Yeah.
And our angel's always there with us.
Amen. Yeah, and the guardian angels who we celebrated on Monday.
Yeah.
All right. Can we get your blessing, Father?
Yeah, Ken, I just want to also pray for that John Doe that you saw. When you told me that this morning, it kind of touched my heart. You know, it's somebody's little boy or little girl. And the other one I want to pray for is Mario and Paula. You know, I know it's so hard. They lost their son, Mario, and we know how much Mario does for in his sign network. But I just to pray the Golden Hail Mary, okay, for all those who we love who have gone before us. Name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless everyone. Thanks,
right. Ken. Thank you, Father. And our guest for the 5 o'clock hour is already on the line, Dr. Paul Chaloux. We'll be talking about his book, Dying Without Fear. So we'll be talking about death and suffering. You're not going to want to miss it. Don't go away. We'll be back.